Amen. Well done, young people. I don't know if it applies spiritually. How many know sometimes you don't do good on the test, you have to retake? How many's ever felt like you were doing a retake? Amen. It's better to get it the first time, isn't it? Praise the Lord. If you turn your scripture to Jesus' sermon, Matthew chapter 7, this is the last chapter of his three-chapter sermon as we have divided it, and we have been in the series Beyond the Beatitudes, and trusting the Lord will make Christ's words fresh and new to us. He first spoke these 2,000 years ago to a crowd. How many kind of feels like there's the same needs in this crowd that was in the crowd when he first spoke this message? Yeah. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? We'll read five verses tonight that we're going to cover, and that way they'll be before us as we look at them. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet or measure out, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Here's the key. These next two words are the key to understanding these five verses. Thou hypocrite. I'm going to jump way ahead and tell you these verses really aren't about judging. They're about hypocrisy. They're about hypocrisy. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. If there were a slogan that captures the spirit of this age and everything we're dealing with happening, you know what that slogan is? There was a slogan that captures the spirit of this age. It's this: don't judge me. That's it right there. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You can be seated tonight. I'm going to entitle this segment of the Bible study, I'm going to entitle it, Keep Your Own Nose Clean. Now, that may be fallen out of usage, but when I was growing up, you heard that a lot. And so being, a good emulator, when I raised my kids, I said that to them a whole lot. Now, I know to keep your own nose clean, that means stay out of trouble. You know, they use that in law. They release a prisoner and say, now, keep your nose clean. Stay out of trouble. But in the context of a family or children, it's usually used like this. You're headed somewhere, and you got the kids in the back seat, and one of them hollers, Jimmy's doing this and that. And the parent turns around and says, well, keep your own nose clean. In other words, you are worrying about what your sibling is doing wrong when the whole time you're doing things wrong too. You ought to be worried about your doing wrong. How many know some folks are so concerned and worried about someone else doing wrong, they fail to see what they're doing wrong? And so Jesus says it a little less crudely, but I think that's a good admonition in life, spiritually. Keep your own nose clean. How does that work? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. But have you ever noticed another way you see this? You know, we have, as families, as Christians families, we have prayer together before our meals. If you've had multiple kids, how many have had that scenario where one of the kids during prayer, when you get done, hollers out, Mom, Dad, Susie had her eyes open when we were praying. Ever had that happen? Well, how did they know? They had their eyes open. See, that's how that judging thing goes. It's so hard to judge somebody else without incriminating yourself. So here's the way I'm going to handle these verses tonight. First of all, I'm just going to put it under this title. People get this verse so wrong. They get this verse so wrong. Here's the verse. Judge not that you be not judged. This is probably the most quoted, or should I say the most misquoted verse of our time. There'll be people on the street that know nothing about the Bible, but they'll know this verse, judge not, lest you be not judged. You'll hear television commentators, you'll hear university teachers, you'll hear protesters, you'll hear people of the street, you'll hear all the time at our age, Jesus said, or the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. And the sad thing is, it's not just the society, the worldly society, that's quoting this verse wrongly. A big segment of the church is quoting this verse wrongly. You know, all these things that we've had, the same-sex marriage and the transsexual use of the bathrooms and all of that, you'll hear this phrase interdispersed through all that. Judge not. You're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge. People get this verse so wrong. It's quoted out of context, and it's usually quoted to say that we should tolerate deviant and perverted and very wrong behavior. This verse is quoted to silence disagreement. If you ever say, well, I disagree in our society, your disagreement is immediately met with, you're not supposed to judge. Amen. And you know, people do this to suggest that if you have an opinion or if you have a conviction, they say, you're not supposed to judge. That is another way of saying you are discriminatory, you are bigoted, you are prejudiced, you are racist. That's code today. When you are told you're not supposed to judge, they are calling you prejudiced. That bug, I'm going to make a little judgment here. I don't want you there. So people get this verse so wrong. You see, if society, I want you to think about this though. If society says I'm wrong to judge certain behavior, society says I'm wrong to judge certain lifestyles and practices, are they not judging me to say I'm wrong for judging? Right? They'll look at me and say, you can't judge that. You can't say that's wrong. You're wrong to judge. Did they not just judge me by saying I was wrong to judge? But that's the world we live in. You say a certain sexual lifestyle is harmful, and society says you're hateful. You're judging and you are hateful. But didn't they just judge you by calling you hateful? You say that certain economic programs are harmful to a certain ethnicity or a people group, and the society said, you're judging, you're a racist, you're judging. Did they not just judge me by saying that I'm a racist? You make a stand and say, I believe this is God's word, and I believe this is sin, and I believe this behavior is displeasing to God. And society says, you're judging, you're being judgmental. Aren't they judging me when they say I'm judgmental? That's what Jesus is saying. Judge not, lest you be judged. You know, interesting, people want to rule out the Bible if you quote the verse, homosexuality is sin, but then they want to use the Bible to judge me for saying that it's sin. Huh? So it's the most misquoted verse, I believe, of our times. You'll hear it over and over. The Bible says you're not supposed to judge. Hold on. They're the one that's wrong. Read these verses. Jesus never ever said we're not to judge. These verses never ever said we're not to judge. That's the one is so ridiculous in quoting this verse that way. Amen. It's a completely ignorant misappropriation of what Jesus was teaching. This isn't about not judging. This is about being hypocritical when you judge. This isn't about not judging. This is about judging others for wrongs you have in your own life. That's what Jesus was addressing. Let's look at the word just briefly here, the word judge. And you'll leave here and not remember this, but you might. But that comes from krino. We get our word critic from it. And if I had time, I'd talk about that word critic and criticizing tonight. But I'm not going to. But that's where we get our word critic. That's the word judge. Let me give you just some of the meanings to judge in Scripture. One of the most basic meanings of judge is to separate and to pick out. And so you got a bushel of apples, and some of them are bad. So you go through the bushel of apples, and you pick one up and say, this one's bad. I'll throw it out. This one's good. I'll save it. This one's bad. That separating and picking out the bad is what the Bible means by judging. To judge is to determine something, to form an opinion after a lot of thought and consideration. It's not an off-the-fly type of opinion. It's when you have really thought out something and you have formed an opinion that is a judgment. To judge is to approve, or could I say also to disapprove. That's what judgment is, to approve or disapprove. And then in Scripture, to judge means to pass sentence, to condemn. To pass sentence. Now, out of all of those that I gave you, and that's why I had Brother Mike go ahead and put them up here, the only one that we are not to do is to condemn and pass sentence on someone. In fact, the Scripture says, Jesus himself, he says, judge. He says, judge not by appearance, but judge. We're to judge. And so the only one we're not to do is the one where we pass sentence and condemn. Let's look at the parallel here because it'll show us this. In Luke it says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Or put another way, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. We're not to condemn people, to write them off, to sentence them. Amen. That's the judging we're not to do. We are to forgive them. That is Jesus' way. Let me talk about what judging isn't. Sometimes we get a good idea what something is by talking about what it isn't. And before I get into that, let me just give you some illustrations of how we use judge in a good way. If you have an entry in the fair at the end of the summer, it gets judged. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you are filling out scholarship applications for college, and it'll say right on there, you write an essay and it'll be judged. There's nothing wrong with that. You might be in a track meet. They have judges that judge that. Nothing wrong with that kind of judgment. In fact, we're advised to use our judgment. You watch a lady shop, men too, but you know, most of the time we don't do much. Go to the produce aisle. You'll see judgment in a hurry. They'll write off that bunch of broccoli like that. And when I go in there, I just start grabbing, putting them in bags. I don't even look through it. But they'll feel, they'll look, they'll hold it up to the light. Judgment goes on in the produce section. Nothing wrong with that. You know, what is a ref in a game? He judges. Can you imagine when a referee's doing his job that the people in the stands yell out to him when he calls that and he says that's a foul or that's out of bounds? Can you imagine people rising up and say, you're not supposed to judge. The Bible says you're not supposed to judge. In fact, the referees are more often judged than they do the judging. Everybody knows better than the ref does. They're judged. So what is judging not? Well, first of all, judging is not an observation. What I'm trying to say is, yes, when we observe, it is a judgment. We're making a judgment. But that's not what Jesus is saying that we're not supposed to do. It's not wrong to make observations. Let me give you some example. Let's use the apple again. If I pick up an apple and I observe it has a worm in it, I'm not judging in the bad sense. That's a good judgment. I'm not judging what Christ prohibits us doing. You see, that's what the world's doing to us. I want you to think about that. I simply observe the worm and the apple, and I say, there's a worm in the apple, and the society shouts out, you're not supposed to judge. You see, when we say that behavior is sin, we're not doing the bad judging. We are making an observation. When we say that violates the Word of God, we're not judging in that bad sense. We are making an observation. Amen. And so let's use the sawdust, this mote we're going to be using in just a moment. For me to say that there is sawdust in your eye, I am not judging. I am observing. If I say of somebody, you know, they hardly come to church anymore. They don't pray much in the altars. They don't sing the song. They're not worth. I am not judging. That's what they would want to say to me. Don't judge me. I'm not judging them. That's an observation. Secondly, judging is not evaluation. Now, again, when you evaluate, you're making a good judgment. That's a good judging. But that's not the judging that Christ is forbidding. We are to evaluate. The Bible says we're to evaluate prophets, and we're to evaluate gifts, and we're to evaluate different things. So let's use the apple again. I observe there's a worm in the apple. Now I make an evaluation. That apple would not be good to eat. I evaluate it from the observation. So let's use this mote, this sawdust tonight. First of all, I observe you got sawdust in your eye. And then if I say that sawdust needs to come out, I'm not making the judgment that is forbidden. I am evaluating. And so here's this fellow, he doesn't come to church anymore, doesn't worship. If I make the evaluation and say, it's not good for a Christian to miss church. It's not good for a Christian to quit praying and worshiping. Don't look at me and say, you're judging. No, that is a valid evaluation. And then judging is not disapproval. And again, yes, disapproval or approval is a good judgment, but it's not the judgment that Christ forbids. So if I disapprove of that apple and I say, I don't like wormy apples, I disapprove of them, that is not a forbidden judgment. If I say to you, you got sawdust in your eye, observation, that sawdust needs to come out, evaluation, and then I say as you get in the car, oh, you shouldn't be driving with sawdust in your eye. That's looked upon with disapproval. That's not a bad judgment. That is a valid judgment. Amen. You know, have you ever wondered why our disapproval is judgment, but their approval isn't? You know, they say we're judging because we say a certain behavior is wrong. But aren't they judging when they say that behavior isn't wrong? And so we put all this on the table so we can see what Jesus is talking about. There's one more kind of judging that's wrong, however you look at it, in both sense. That's the judging that's cutting down and fault finding. You are not simply making evaluations. You are not simply making observations. You are not simply expressing disapproval when you have a cut that person down, fault-finding spirit and attitude. That kind of judging should never be a part. Folks can pick folks apart like that. Find something wrong with everything. And this is where I was going to get into the word critical, but I'm not going to take that time tonight. I'm just saying it's never God's will that we be judging in this critical sense of fault finding. I mean, I've observed the apple's got a worm in it. I've evaluated and say it's not good to eat. I disapprove of eating apples with worms in it. But when I start saying, you know, apples are just worthless fruit. I mean, one apple had a worm in it, and so I've concluded all apples are worthless fruit. I mean, we need, and if I've observed the sawdust in your eye. I've said it needs to come out. I've said you don't need to drive with sawdust in your eye. But the moment I start saying you're an awful person because you got sawdust in your eye, I tell you what, since you got a piece of sawdust in your eye, they ought to throw you in jail and throw away the key. You know, once I get that to that point, I am doing what Jesus forbids us to do. Now, misunderstood. Misquoted. Let's look at this next verse under this title. There's this law, this thing about sowing and reaping to remember. You know, before I even looked at this passage of Scripture, I thought, you know, once again, people need to understand the teaching of Scripture that we sow what we reap. And as Paul said, if we sow to the flesh, we of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap life everlasting. How many realize that every day we live, we are sowing something? This law, though not stated, is a part of this judging and not judging. Look at verse 2. Here it is. Look for this law of sowing and reaping. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So if we follow out to a logical conclusion what Jesus is saying here, he's saying you're going to reap what you sow. Let's take that wrong kind of judging, that critical, being critical. I promise you, if you're critical of other people, that's going to come back to you. You are going to find yourself criticized by others if you're a critical person. It'll happen. I mean, someone gets up to sing, they should have put another key. Look at the way their clothes look. I mean, just cut, criticize. If you criticize, you will be criticized. You criticize other folks singing, your singing is going to get criticized. And that's where this, they can dish it out, but they can't take it, comes. A lot of people can dish out criticism, but you let them be criticized, and they can't take it. How many's already found this law of sowing and reaping happens in this area of being critical? It does. Let me give you an illustration. I'll have to tell on myself for this and hang my head in shame. But when we were there at the Bible school, of course, we weren't pastors there. We was a teacher. So we sat in the services. And they went through a period of renovation. They were changing the PA and remodeling the sanctuary and everything. And for about 2 or 3 years there, every service, we got ready to have service, something was wrong with the PA system. It'd squeal, or there'd be no sound coming out of it, or it'd be distorted, and people be running around trying to get it fixed. And I'd lean over to my wife. That's her right there, same one. I'd lean over to my wife, and I'd say, I can't believe a church of this size can't afford enough money to get a PA system that works. Or I'd say, shouldn't they have done that about 10 minutes ago before service started? Over and over, I'd lean, and she'd say, Honey, you shouldn't be saying that. I know you don't believe I would do anything like that, but, you know, that was many moons ago. But guess what? Some of you may not remember this, but when I first came, we did some remodeling and some changing of the PA system. We moved speakers from here to there. We had so many troubles with our PA system. And folks, ever service, I heard things like, you think a church this size could afford a PA system at worst? Couldn't you all have done that before church and got it all worked out? And I was complaining about people complaining about the PA system, and my sweet little wife said, you're just reaping what you sowed. It's like the law of gravity. It's built into the universe. But this verse isn't talking primarily about criticizing folks in that way. What it's talking about is you've judged them correctly. You've observed correctly. You've evaluated correctly. You've disapproved of the right things. But what do you do with that? What is your attitude towards the person? You've made the right observation, but what's your attitude towards them? How do you handle that? You're hard on folks. You've observed correctly. They do have that wrong in their life. But you're so hard on them. Be careful, because if you're hard on folks, folks are going to be hard on you. I mean, you've made the right observation. They are wrong. They shouldn't have that in your life. But you have no mercy for them. Better watch it. Going to be a day you need mercy. It's not going to be there. You're so harsh and unfeeling when people have things wrong in their life, and you readily tell them what's wrong, but you don't just say, brother, I love you and I want to help you here. You're harsh in the way and unfeeling in the way you tell them that they're wrong. Better watch it. What judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And if you're harsh and unfeeling, that's the way you're going to be treated. Don't get upset at me. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Judge not, lest you be judged. Did you know people find it far easier to judge than to be judged? How many say that's me? I find it easier to judge than to be judged. Certainly, certainly. And this isn't a law that God has to intervene and make happen. It's just written into the universe and the way it operates. Let's look at this next verse under this title. It's the hypocrisy that makes judging wrong. Look at verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Now, this word mote is an old English word that means a small particle of dust, wood, chaff of wheat, or anything, just a small. But to make it understandable in parallel, we could say sawdust. Why beholdest thou the sawdust that's in thy brother's eye? And then a beam originally was a log. Usually it was squared, but it's just a big log like we'd build log cabins out of. But to make it understandable in our day, we'll use the word telephone pole, though soon we'll have to change that too. But anyway, telephone pole. And, you know, Jesus had a real sense of sharp humor. I mean, this is kind of funny, really. Do we have that picture, brother? Did you get that picture I sent you? This is kind of funny. Can you see that? I mean, here this fella, my brother, Layman's got a little piece of sawdust. I had to get magnifying glass to see it. And I'm going to help take that out of his eye, and the whole time I've got a telephone pole sticking out of mine. That's not going to work very well, is it? Look at the hypocrisy of that. You are fixated on how bad off your brother is because he has a speck of sawdust in his eye. You're upset about it. You're fixated on that piece of sawdust. And the whole time, both hands, you're trying to hold up that telephone pole so you don't fall over. We would be less critical of others if we would first consider our own faults, our own failures, our own shortcoming. You know, that usually happens in prayer. I've never really got serious in prayer that I didn't see myself for what I really was. I have never left those moments of prayer where I have seen myself as I really was before God in His presence. I've never left those seasons of prayer and felt like criticizing anybody, tearing anybody down, being hateful or mean-spirited to anybody. Have you? It doesn't happen. Amen. This telephone sawdust, I've heard people trying to tell other people how they should raise their kids, and the whole time their kids were doing backflips up through the baptistry, you know. It's so easy to see the sawdust. I remember Major Evangelist was so hard on fallen preachers and their sin, and the whole time he was involved in gross perversions himself. Fixated on the sawdust in my brother's eye, and I got a telephone pole in my own eye. Jesus said of the lady caught in adultery, "He who is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Jesus never justified her sin. Jesus never said the adultery was okay. He just said, if you're going to worry about this sawdust, let's first address the telephone pole in your own eye. You may be the one that has to deal with somebody else's wrong. It may be a child. It may be someone under your leadership. You may be the one responsible for helping them with their sawdust. Jesus never says you shouldn't do that. He just says before you help them with the sawdust in their eye, get along with God and get the telephone pole out of your own eye. Look at verse 4. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? And it's just not going to work. How are you going to be able to see? Think about it. How are you going to be able to see to get the sawdust out when your vision is impeded by the telephone pole? You know, I'm not being critical here. I love it when folks pray for folks. And you can say, well, you're not supposed to judge, but I'm going to tell the illustration anyway. There's been a moving altar call, and folks have come to pray in the altar. And many times, some of the folks that come pray with them are the ones that should have been answering the altar call. Those that came had the sawdust in their eye, and the ones that came to pray for them had a telephone pole. And I'm thinking to myself, as pastor, you know, you're privy of something. I'm thinking, you know, you could really help them pray through. If you'd pray through first and get rid of the telephone pole, then you could really help them pray. Why are you trying to help them get the sawdust out at the altar? Would you need to be over here praying and asking God to take the telephone pole out of your eye? And so Jesus says, it just doesn't work. You can't help your brother with the sawdust when you got the telephone pole. You see, the person that's got the telephone pole that's trying to help the one with the sawdust, it's not really out of true concern for his brother. It's out of a assumed position that I'm going to help you with the sawdust because I'm more spiritual than you. Humility never approaches somebody with sawdust in their eye like that. You know, some folks have gotten the idea that the more critical one is, the more holy he is. Did you know that can go for preachers to even movements? You can assume the more critical that you are, the more holy you are. I want to tell you, if it's just a critical spirit, you may have rightly observed and evaluated and disapproved of the sawdust, but you will never help that brother get rid of the sawdust until something happens to your own spirit. And isn't that the point? If someone's got sawdust in their eye, isn't that the point not to just call attention to it or let that? Isn't the point to get the sawdust out? See, that's why I'm saying this goes so far beyond this shallow thing that Jesus said, don't judge. Jesus is saying we do need to help our brother get the sawdust out, but we can't help that if we've got the telephone pole in our own eye. Amen. The more a person can point out others' faults and failings, he thinks is proof of how few he has. In other words, that's the way this mentality goes. The more things I can find wrong with other people, then that kind of makes me look better. But Jesus, it's not that way at all. Not that way at all. Amen. And so you don't like the teaching on Wednesday night? Great. I'll schedule you to do the teaching next Wednesday night. Those swinging the axe rarely criticize others that are swinging the axe. Have you noticed that? Those that are really working are rarely criticizing others that are really working. Being involved. And so Jesus simply says, take care of the telephone pole, then you can help your brother. And that's the last point we'll make. Judging is helpful when it's not hypocritical. I said judging is helpful when it's not hypocritical. I'm talking about observing, evaluating, disapproving. Look at verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, here's the point. Either the brother has sawdust in his eye or not. If he does, it needs to come out. It would be doing him a favor to help him get the sawdust out. So this is never about not noticing the sawdust. This is never about not pointing it out to the brother he's got sawdust in his eye. It's never about telling the brother it's not a good thing to have sawdust. It's simply about me getting in a place, losing my hypocrisy, losing my false sense of holiness, and getting to a place where I can truly help him get the sawdust out. Judging is helpful when it's not hypocritical. And here is where it's evident Jesus isn't speaking against judging. He's speaking about being hypocritical. He says, get yourself right and then you'll help your brother. You see, once the telephone pole is out of my eye, I will be contrite. I will be humble. I will be in a place that I will help and not harm my brother. Amen. Once the telephone pole is out of my eye, I might even discover that there wasn't sawdust in my brother's eye after all. I thought there was, but it was because I was looking through a telephone pole. It's amazing how people get so much better when I get right with God. You remember we see, give me that old time religion, and we have that one, it'll make you love everybody. I've seen Pentecostal services where people really prayed through, and all of a sudden people that looked mean looked wonderful. People they were mad at, they were happy about. Because you thought they had sawdust, but you were looking through the telephone pole. I'm just about done here, but you know, one of the great things is that, and I've seen this, I'll give you an illustration. I've told you before, but it's been many years. It's a wonderful thing when people are trying to pull the sawdust out of somebody's eye and all of a sudden they become aware that they've got a telephone pole in theirs. Have you ever seen that? Here's this person. They're so intent on getting sawdust out of their brother's eye, and all of a sudden, by the Holy Spirit, by conscience or whatever, all of a sudden it occurs to the person they've got a telephone pole in their own eye. Let me tell you what I immediately thought about. When I first came here, there was more speaking engagements, and I hadn't missed hardly any Sundays, but there was a period for about 3 or 4 weeks I was out preaching revivals or camps. And one week when I got back, I was back in my office, and this sister came back and knocked on my office door, my study door, and I opened the door, and she turned on the faucet. And I was absolutely the worst pastor. Could not believe that I was missing all those Wednesday nights. And she went on and on about missing these Wednesday nights and out preaching other places. And I just stood and looked at her. And all of a sudden, I saw it hit her, you know, like the light bulb comes on in the cartoon. And she looked at me and said, "Wait a minute. I don't even come to church on Wednesday nights, do I?" And turned around and walked off. She was really trying to get that piece of sawdust out of my eye. And all of a sudden, she was aware that she had a telephone pole in her eye. I cannot but feel when someone's always concerned about judging others, it's because they don't, or others judging him, it's because they don't want to be aware of the fact that God will judge them and their conscience already has. Come music. I know I muddled that, but hear me. This is important. Let me restate that. Let's go back to the world always saying, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me." You know why they're so concerned about our not judging them? Because their conscience has already judged them. And they're really worried about God judging them. So they're trying to quiet that down. There's an answer if you don't like others pointing out your sawdust or telephone pole. Did you know that? There's an answer. If you don't like folks pointing out your sawdust or telephone pole, here it is, 1 Corinthians 11:31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Isn't Scripture wonderful? There's a solution. "I don't like that preacher pointing out my sawdust. I don't like my brother telling me I got a telephone pole." If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. How do we do that physically? Almost every one of us, before you left tonight, you looked in the mirror. How do we judge ourselves for those telephone poles and sawdust? We look in the Word. Amen. There's something else we can do. And you might have done this tonight. You ask somebody you trust. Don't ask somebody you don't trust how you look. They'll let you go out with toilet paper sticking on the razor cuts and your hair messed up. And but somebody you'll trust, somebody that loves you, they'll tell you. One way we can judge ourselves is to ask somebody we trust. Amen. So I'm going to end where I started. The thing that captures the spirit of our age is this slogan, "Don't judge me." But I had a thought today. You see, I believe the Word of God, and I believe one day every person will stand in the judgment of God. How many still believe that? I wonder, those that are so quick and free to say, "Don't judge me," I just wonder, are they going to try that with God when they stand before Him? Are they going to look at Him and say, "Don't judge me"? It's not going to work. No. But if we would judge ourselves, if we would look to the Lord, we wouldn't be saying, "You're not supposed to judge." We'd be crying out to God, "Search me and know my heart and see if there's any sawdust or telephone poles in my eye." Amen. Could you stand tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God, thank you for your people that are hungry for the truth of your word. Teach us to judge ourselves that we would not judge. Teach us to be good observers, evaluators, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to stand for your truth in spite of this world shouting at us that we're not supposed to judge. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come and find a place and let the word of God find lodging in your heart tonight?
Stayed around.